Chapter 8. Viruses and Language. Languages in general are always changing, and it is no different in the medical world. As a new disease appears, the name often changes, usually because it is too difficult for people to say or write. Language is also a very useful tool. It can be used to educate, to advertise, and to inform. Public health organisations have used the power of language to help make necessary changes to the economy and social life in order to stop outbreaks becoming epidemics and epidemics becoming pandemics. The origin of virus. In many languages across the world, medical words first came from Latin and Greek. This means languages often share the same words for different diseases. The word virus is a good example. Although Arabic, Finnish, Greek, Japanese, Russian, Turkish, and Vietnamese are all very different types of language, they all use a word that sounds and often even looks very similar to the word we use in English. The word virus has changed meaning several times. We first see the word used in the late 14th century to mean poison. However, we don't find examples of virus used in medical documents and books until 1728. As medical understanding develops, we begin to use the word virus a little differently. It now means something that the body produces because of disease, which can also infect other people. The word gets a new meaning in the early 1980s when computers are introduced. By 1983, virus is used to describe an IT problem that has infected a computer. The naming of viruses. Diseases and illnesses are often named after the doctor or scientist who first discovered them, like Chagas disease, discovered by the Brazilian doctor Carlos Chagas. The case of norovirus is a little different. It was named after the town of Norwalk in Ohio, where, in 1968, 150 children from one school became extremely ill with vomiting and diarrhea. Researchers took 4 years to identify the virus that they called norovirus. The Zika virus was named after the forest in Uganda where it was first identified, the Zika forest. It is now known that the Spanish flu probably did not begin in Spain. So, how did it get its name? When the Spanish flu began, Spain was one of the only countries in Europe that was not fighting in the First World War. As the rest of Europe and the US wanted to include more positive stories, they were not allowed to report on this new virus in the media. Spain was the only country that wrote about it in its newspapers, so people believed that it had come from Spain, and that is why they called it the Spanish flu. When the King of Spain, Alfonso XIII, himself caught the virus, this seemed to further prove the story. Meanwhile, the Spanish, thinking the virus had entered the country from France, called it the French flu. Coronaviruses were first discovered by June Almeida in the 1960s. When looking at the new virus, Almeida noticed that it had a circle around it, and so she named it corona, meaning crown, in Latin. The latest coronavirus disease is COVID-19. Corona, co, virus, vi, disease, d, that was first identified in 2019. Before December 2019, the virus corona was only known in the world of medicine, and it did not become really famous until 2020. Since then, the name of the disease has changed several times. In newspapers, it quickly became corona or COVID, and since, we have seen even shorter names, Rone and Rona, used online. Outbreak, epidemic, or pandemic. As soon as a pandemic is announced, public health organizations and governments need to find ways to prevent the virus entering the country. Populations in some US towns in 1918 went into quarantine to escape the Spanish flu, and so did the people of Ypres in the UK during the plague. Putting people in quarantine was another way to stop a virus spreading. But where does the word quarantine come from? From 1205 to 1358, the port of Dubrovnik in Croatia was controlled by Venice, Italy. As people arrived at the port from countries already suffering from the plague, they had to wait for 30 days before leaving the ship. At that time, quarantine lasted just 30 days, or Trentino, as it was called. This later became quarantine. The extra 10 days was probably added to be sure people were no longer contagious. Today, there are 20 quarantine stations across the US where people with yellow fever, cholera, and the plague have to isolate. Having diagnosed the virus, it is then necessary to consider numbers. How many people have already caught this virus, and how many more are likely to catch it? The amount of people who become infected by a disease will decide if it is an outbreak, an epidemic, or a pandemic. An outbreak can be quite small. An outbreak of norovirus in a hospital, for example, or a measles outbreak in a school. Epi means something that affects an area where a group of people live. According to the US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, it becomes an epidemic when there are more deaths than usual in one area or amongst a group of people. Sometimes outbreak and epidemic mean the same thing, but people often prefer outbreak as they find the word epidemic quite frightening. The Greek word pan means all, and the WHO decides an epidemic has become a pandemic when a virus starts to infect people across many or all countries. The word pandemic also brings fear, and so it is not a word that is used often. In fact, although COVID-19 had first been identified in December 2019, the WHO did not announce that it was a pandemic until the 11th of March 2020. Talking about viruses. In the past, we didn't know enough about disease to describe it correctly, so instead we compared it to other things. In the 17th century, to prevent diseases from spreading, you avoided someone like the plague. This is something we still say a lot in English today when we really don't want to see someone. Many of the verbs, nouns, and adjectives we use to talk about disease can be connected to war. A patient might have an attack of the flu during the winter months, for example. The media might talk about the war on SARS or fighting the battle against HIV/AIDS. We talk about a norovirus outbreak just as we might talk about the outbreak of war. We talk about killing a virus and winning the battle against disease. Health workers sometimes need to battle to save a patient's life. Newspapers might write about someone who died after a long battle with polio. Today, health workers are advised to use other language to talk about disease. Researchers who study languages believe these words are too negative and unfair and don't help either the patient or the health workers. Comparing disease with a war or a battle suggests the patient didn't fight hard enough to avoid getting ill, or that the health workers didn't work hard enough to stop the death of a patient. Instead, they prefer to compare disease to a journey. Using language in public health. Public health organizations often use language to encourage the population to take better care of their health. During the Second World War, the UK's Ministry of Health produced posters to remind people that it was important to stay healthy during a time of war. Coughs and sneezes spread diseases was probably their most well-known poster. After the National Health Service, NHS, was created in the UK in 1948, other posters were produced that used language in a fun way to encourage people to prevent disease. Catch it, bin it, kill it reminded people again to stop spreading cold viruses. While during the COVID-19 pandemic of 2020, we saw posters that read, "Stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives." It is clear that any information given by public health organisations and governments needs to be correct. People often say they have the flu when they really only have a cold. So even something simple like explaining the cold virus is not the same as a flu virus is important. In 1916, during an outbreak of polio, 72,000 cats and 8,000 dogs were destroyed in New York because people believed the disease was transmitted by animals. In the 1940s, during the summer months, parents asked their children to touch their toes every morning to check they hadn't caught polio. 10 years later, people even refused to talk on the phone as they believed it was possible to catch polio this way. If public health organisations had given the right information at the right time, these false ideas could have been avoided. Showing change in society. Finally, language can help us to understand the social changes that happen after an epidemic or pandemic. Before the COVID-19 pandemic, only health workers understood PPE. But today, even children as young as 5 know what it means. And in the working world, although the idea of working from home, or WFH, was not new before the pandemic, very few people actually did work from home. But during the pandemic, many thousands of office workers and teachers used technology to do the work we usually do face-to-face by computer at home. There are lots of advantages of working from home. Some even suggest people work much harder at home than they do in an office. In the future, it will be interesting to see if companies encourage or discourage workers to WFH. Ministry of Health posters, UK, 1940s. A COVID-19 NHS poster.